Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your songbooks and turn to Psalm 156. Psalm 156, we'll sing, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know." And if you would stand, we'll sing Psalm 156.
There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, that precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There is no name in earth or heaven above that we should give such honor and such love as the blessed name. Let us all acclaim that wondrous, glorious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and someday I shall see him face to face to thank him, praise him for his wondrous grace, which he gave to me when he made me free, that blessed Son of God called Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, God, for just today, a beautiful day, God, to meet in your house and hear your word preached. I pray, Lord, that you would just receive all the honor and glory out of everything that's said and done. Fill our pastor with your power and spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we ask all of it. Amen. All right, may be seated. And turn just one page back to Psalm 154. Psalm 154 in your songbooks. We'll sing, Blessed be the tie that binds.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellow sweet of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Amen. Well, welcome to Mountain Baptist Church on this Sunday morning. And just some general church announcements. Big thing we got going on after the service today, actually, is we have a baptism. So Brother Denzel, we actually met him out soul winning a couple weeks ago. And so we gave him the gospel and prayed to receive Christ, and we're going to get him in the water. And we usually use this baptistry, and we were trying to, we did a little trial and error and it turned out to be error. we usually always drain the water out of it, you know, as soon as we're done with it. But Brother Charles wasn't here, or Brother Joseph, and so we're like, you know what, we just don't want to do it. So we're like, you know what, we're going to try out and see what happens if we leave it in there. And I bought this pH tester, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to test that pH level. And, you know, I was going to get some, like, you know, you get that Shock-It stuff, you know, you use for pools and like, chlorine and everything. And take that lid off. I'm like, nope, time to get the old baptistry out. So, anyway, yeah, I guess we're just going to have to fill it each time. But you live and learn. But, yeah, so we're not going to baptize you in the green water. We got clean water outside. But it is a warm day. So, you know, and that water is actually decently warm because it's just such a hot summer. It's not like super cold or anything like that. So we're excited about that. Just general church announcements here. We have our service times on here. Just to give you a, kind of a heads up, my house is an infirmary right now. And so I'm not sick. I've been checking my temperature, at least right now, or at least an hour ago or so. I don't have a fever or anything like that. But that is not the case for those at my house. So, I'm going to be, like, after the afternoon service, I'm going to be hitting the road. So if I leave and, you know, and abruptly, it's not because I don't like you. Yeah, I'm just going to try to get home and try to help out there. So, but that being said, yeah, so that's going on there. All the service times are the same here. We have just general church announcements. We have the offering box in the back there, underneath where it says tithes and offerings. So if you ever want to give a tithe or an offering, you can give it in there. Mother baby room, behind the bookshelf there, that first door there is for the mothers and babies only. The other two rooms, any parent that wants to take their child out, they can if they need to. And soul winning times, we have our main soul winning time today at 1 p.m. So if you want to go out soul winning, meet up before 1, we'll get you teamed up and we'll go out. And then our chapter memory for the month is Galatians chapter 4. And then Psalm 101:3 is our memory verse for the week. And so just so I don't butcher it here, 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And so that is our memory verse for the week. And so if you memorize that, or if you already have memorized, you get a piece of candy. So don't forget about that. Upcoming church events, we have men's prayer meeting August 27th, so that's this Friday. Yep, that's this Friday. And then next Sunday, after the afternoon service, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. So if you haven't been here for the Lord's Supper before, basically after the afternoon service, we shut everything down as far as all the live streaming, everything, and we do the Lord's Supper together as a church. And so that will be next Sunday. September 11th, the Saturday, before our anniversary service, we're going to be doing a soul winning marathon in Moundsville, West Virginia. So Moundsville, it's just south of Wheeling. And so if you haven't already, put that on your calendar, if you can make it out to that. And then on September 12th, we're going to have kind of a special Sunday because we're going to celebrate our anniversary. Our first church service was on the 17th, but obviously, you know, it's not going to always fall on a Sunday. So that being said, we're 4 years old this coming September. And so we're going to have kind of like a fellowship in between the services. So instead of the normal soul winning time and all that, we're going to do a fellowship in between the services. We'll have food. We'll have some games and stuff like that for the kids and for the adults. I don't know, you know. And then we have the Mountain Baptist Church retreat at the end of the month there, September 23rd through the 26th. And so if you have any questions about any of that stuff, let me know. On the back here, we have, let's see, birthdays. 27. Did we? We got Brother Jason, right? Okay. Just making sure. Did we sing happy birthday to Caleb? We did? Okay. Just making sure. I don't want to miss anybody. And then the rest on here will be next week. So yeah. Anniversaries. Yep, we got an anniversary coming up. Did we sing happy anniversary to the Joneses? No, that's what we didn't get. Okay, so we actually have two anniversaries. So I guess I got to sing, right? You can't sing for yourself. No. So I guess I'll stay up here and sing happy anniversary to the two couples. So the Joneses and the Gandys. And so how many years Joneses? 11? 16? Are you sure about that? She's not disagreeing. Yeah. That can be a good or bad thing. So 11 years, 16 years, awesome. So we'll be singing happy anniversary to them. And then the pregnancy list here, be in prayer for all the ladies on here. So Miss Joyce, Tabby, Amanda, Jennifer, Anastasia, Ruth. And so keep all these ladies on your prayer list here. And yeah, definitely different stages too. So yeah, excited to have more babies in the church. So in the church building situation, we're kind of almost just to the point where this one that's over in Whitehall is probably the one we're going to go with. I'm waiting on cost for renovations because we will need to like change some things about it to get it to work for us. But I'll let you guys know. So that could be coming soon. And that means that we're going to have to move everything. So hopefully that all falls in place like it should. That's about all I got for announcements. I'm going to sing happy anniversary. So get back there to your wife. We're going to sing happy anniversary. Who's reading this morning? I know I saw the list. So Brother Joseph's going to be reading Psalm 101 for us after we sing our last song. So I'm going to sing happy anniversary to the Joneses and to the Gandys. So everybody sing with me. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. So how many kids do you guys have? Five? And then you're gonna be six, right?
Yes, sir.
So yeah, fruitful marriages there for sure. So Brother Dave's going to come, sing one more song, then Brother Joseph's going to come and read Psalm 101 for us.
You know, it is awkward standing up, everybody staring at you back there while you're singing. Yeah, maybe that wasn't the greatest idea. We'll keep doing it. All right, we'll sing song. Oh, I'm sorry. Turn your songbooks to song 161. Song 161. We'll sing Our Great Savior. Song 161. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Let me hide myself in Him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, He, my strength, my victory wins. Hallelujah, what Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end.
Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps me so. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a God and keeper, while the tempest still is high. Storms about me night o'ertakes me, He, my pilot, hears my cry. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, I do now receive Him, more than all in Him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 101. Psalm 101, we'll have Brother Joseph read that for us.
You want me to sing it? All right, Psalm 101. I'm not going to sing it. All right, if you found your place there, if you'll say amen. Amen. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you for this time that we're able to gather together here. Lord, thank you for your pure and holy word you've given to us. I ask you to be with Pastor Robinson and edify us today and be out when we go soul winning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you're there in Psalm 101, and I'm going to be preaching a sermon that's not a fun sermon to preach, and it's not a light sermon to preach, and just to be honest, I don't want to preach it, but I'm going to preach it. It has to do with the sin of pornography. Now, you say, well, where did this come from? Well, on my church phone, I don't know if you guys get this, like you get scam stuff all the time, right? But there's just constantly these text messages dealing with like pornographic type of, now it doesn't pop up that way, it's just like a link, you know, but it's like, you know, click on this or whatever. And then on my like my Facebook page, there'll be things like, or be like a friend request from some like woman or something like that. And you can just tell from the picture before you even click on it, you're like, this is probably not legit, you know? And then if you're unfortunate enough to click on it, you're like, I wish I would have never clicked on that, you know, because obviously Facebook will keep things away, but it's still enough to where you don't want to see it, you know, because it's like really scantily clad or whatever the case may be. But you know what? This is something that I know is an issue in America today. And there may not be anybody in our church dealing with it. There may be someone dealing with it. And this could be a sermon to get it right. This could be a sermon, precautionary sermon, meaning this is that, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Meaning this is that even if you aren't involved in that, it's something that anybody could get involved in. And that word is just disgusting to me. Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't even like saying it. Okay, the word pornography. Now, that word comes from, the Greek word pornēs, which means for like fornication. Okay, so if you know what fornication is, okay, it's basically something that a man and a woman are supposed to do when they're married, okay, but they're not married, right? They're doing something that's against what God says as far as when they're supposed to be doing that. And if you think of like choreography, okay, choreography is like dancing, okay, but it's not just dancing, it's choreography, meaning like it's staged. Does that make sense? Like it's like something that's, like you're not just dancing off of a whim, right? You're not just like dancing like just how you'd want to dance, right? Basically, you're being shown the moves, all these different things, right? So pornography is basically that. It's like staged fornication, okay? So I'm going to leave it at that. And you know, obviously, when I preach a sermon, the Bible's very discreet and doesn't get crude or anything like that, so I'm not going to be getting crude with the sermon. So all the adults know what this is. Younger people may not know what I'm talking about, but here's the thing. You need to heed this sermon when it comes to this, because pornography can ruin your life, okay? And you say, well, you're being over the top. There's people that, and I'm going to be getting into some stats here, but marriages fail because of this. People get divorced because of this. People, like, commit suicide because of getting into this stuff, okay? And it's not good. It's wicked. And the thing is that the Bible says in Psalm 101, go to 101 verse 2, and then I'm going to get to some stats here. But here's the thing. I'm just getting barraged with this garbage, okay? And it's on a church phone too, you know? Thank God it's not on my personal phone as well or something like that. But at the same time, I'm like, this is a church phone. I mean, like, what in the world is this being sent? Now, obviously, they don't know it's a church phone because I'm getting scammed things. It's like, hi, Amy, your package is being delivered. It's like, I'm not Amy. What are you talking about? But it's just like constant things. And you obviously get those. You get those stupid voicemails. It's like, would you like to extend your car and your warranty on your car? You know, it's just constant garbage is being sent to you. But the point is that this stuff is being thrown out there so much that if you don't know this stuff's out there and you don't know the danger of it, you might actually, you know, curiosity killed the cat, so to speak, and you don't want to get sucked into this stuff. Now, in Psalm 101 and verse 2, it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So the idea is like having a perfect way, having a perfect heart. Verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Meaning this is that if you want to have a perfect heart and a perfect way, then you got to set your eyes on the right things. Okay? Meaning that if you're setting your eyes on wicked things, you're not going to have a perfect heart. You're not going to have a perfect way that you're going to be going on. And the way you should look at pornography is that you hate it. Okay? You need to love that which is good and hate that which is evil. Okay? You need to look at it with disdain, disgust, shame, you know, like all those words, vile, you know, like all that stuff should be the way you look at that term, let alone, you know, what that actually is, okay? And now, some statistics here dealing with this. And here's the thing, you know, I grew up, I'll show my age a little bit, kind of at the advent of the internet, okay? Not completely, you know, the internet was probably before me a little bit, and I don't know when it, I mean, Al Gore invented it, so he could tell you. Joking, but obviously the government kind of had internet before that, but really it wasn't until the 90s that internet was really coming to be, right? In the 80s, it was more so, you know, like I remember the old DOS computers, you know, with the floppy disk, and you know, we got excited because we were playing print shop, Okay, and you had those printers, and we'd print out those banners because it had those things that, you know, would be on the rollers. And anyway, some of you kids have no idea what I'm talking about. Actually, most of you don't know what I'm talking about. But the idea here is that in our day, the internet was kind of coming to fruition. YouTube was not a thing. YouTube wasn't even a thing when I was in college. Okay, if you want to see my age a little bit. Okay, meaning when I was in college, YouTube was like just becoming, like it just was coming out. And not many people were on YouTube. Facebook started when I was in college. Okay, you know, when I was in college, when we went, you know, we'd see somebody in class or something like that, and you wanted to know who they were. They had like a directory of the college, and we had to get on the directory. And we're like, man, this feels like stalking. You know, we're like looking up this person. Little did we know what was coming, right? And Facebook came out. Now that being said, what I'm trying to get across here is I'm not that old. Okay, you may think I'm old, but I'm only 36 years old, okay? And that means is that the internet and just that access to all this stuff that's out there is fairly new, okay? My parents didn't have the access to this type of stuff that we have today. Listen, I didn't have the access when I was an adolescent as the people do today. Good night, I didn't have a cell phone until I was in college, and it was a flip phone. I didn't even text on. Texting wasn't even a thing. Like texting, you had to pay more for it, right? And you had to pay more for it, so you didn't do it. I remember when people were putting ringtones, like music on their phones. I still, to this day, don't know how to put a musical ringtone on my phone, okay? And you're like, man, you are a dinosaur. That's just because I don't care, okay? I keep my phone on vibrate. I don't even like ringers, to be honest with you. I don't want to be bothered. Anyway, that being said is that the access to what is available today is crazy. Now, you say, well, should we just get off the internet? Well, here's the thing. The internet's a two-edged sword because the internet will also allow, like, for example, these sermons to get out and people are listening to preaching all over the world, okay? And not saying I'm some great preacher, but listen, there are people that listen to my sermons even though, like, I'm like nobody, right? But people in Australia, Sweden, you know, like the Middle East, like different places will be listening to a sermon because of the internet. So the internet isn't inherently wrong, but listen, it is dangerous, okay? Meaning that, you know, we use the internet and we try to use it for good, and I suggest you use it for good. But at the same time, like there's a lot of trash, garbage, vile, just, you know, stuff that's out there. Now, here's some statistics here. So every second of the day, now this is for America, okay? Every second of the day, over 28,000 users are watching pornography on the internet. Over $3,000 are being spent on pornography on the internet every second. It's an industry. It's a racket. They are making bank on this, okay? And who started it? The Jews, you know. I mean, that's the truth. Who's in Hollywood? Okay? You know, all that stuff is being pushed out, and it's wickedness. Okay? And you know what? Hollywood's wicked, or Hollywood, as I'd like to call it. And you know what? All this stuff is being pushed out. Why? To make money. To make money and to destroy your mind. Okay? It's defiling your mind. Now, every day, 37 pornographic videos are created every day, are created. Now, it says that there's 2.5 billion emails containing pornographic type stuff that are sent or received. 2.5 billion. There's like 350 million people in America. 2.5 billion every day, okay? Now, it says that there's 68 million search queries. Is that how you say that word? I'm not a tech guy. Is that how you say it? I'm just, queries related to pornography. 25% of total searches are generated. It says 116,000 queries related to child pornography are received. Okay. Now, if you want to hate pornography, know that those same people are dealing with children. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Here's how you get out of sin. You hate it. You despise it. Okay? You hate what it stands for. You hate what it does to people. and you hate who it destroys to create. Okay? And so if you are in that, or if it's something that you down the road you're like, oh, you know, you're like the curiosity is getting to you, just think about that for a second. That these same people are dealing with children, they're child molesters, and they're wicked. I mean, they're just wicked people that are just making a buck off of all this. Now, dealing with online stuff, okay? It says that 200,000 Americans are classified as pornography addicts. 40 million American people regularly visit these sites. 40 million. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. 35%. 34%. Now, here's where it angers me. Okay, all that angers me, okay? But here's where it angers me, because I'm not out looking for this crap, okay? Notice what it says in verse 34. I'm in the verse 34. 34%, okay? 34%. I'm going to get to the Bible. I'm just showing you statistics right now. But 34% of internet users are experienced unwanted exposure to pornographic content through ads, pop-up ads, misdirected links, or emails. Okay? That's me right now. So you say, why are you preaching this sermon? We got tired of seeing this crap, you know, like sent to my phone and, you know, trying to shove it down my face on Facebook and everything else. I'm not even talking about all the ads and garbage you have to see for all these movies that should also be in that category. Okay? Most of the movies that are coming out today are you know, should be in this category, because the smut that they're putting on TV and just all the wickedness, all the queer stuff that's coming out. I mean, like, you know, half the time you don't even know if the person you're looking at is a woman anymore, right? Because they're just trying to blend the genders and everything else. So just think about that for a second. When you think about the stuff that's being shoved down your face, you might be looking at a dude. Okay? And then you might want to go throw up after that. Okay? Now one thing I didn't really, you know, realize, but, you know, because you think of this, you know, I'm a man, obviously, so I think that this affects men more than anybody, which it does affect men more than women, but 1/3 of the viewers are women. 1/3. So, ladies, if you don't think it can affect you, it can. Okay? So, now, how does this affect, you know, people that watch it? Well, here's some, it doesn't really give us percentages here, but basically it'll say for teens, for example, adolescents, young adults, it says it increases the odds of teen pregnancy. Shocker. Because if that's what you're thinking about all the time, and that's what you're viewing all the time, that's what you're going to end up wanting to do. Okay? So it increases the odds of teen pregnancy. It raises the risk of depression, because you're going to feel like a loser, you know, watching this garbage. Okay? And anybody, even if you haven't watched, like, pornography or anything, like, if you watched, like, a movie that was, like, bad, you know, like a smutty type movie, you don't feel good after you watch that, you know? And you're just like, what did I just watch? What did I defile my mind with, right? It creates distorted expectations. Okay, now this doesn't just apply to pornography. This applies to movies in general, okay? Meaning this is that, you know what? Not everybody's Prince Charming, okay? And you know what? They don't talk about all the fights that they have after they get married and ride off into the sunset. Okay, you know, it's just not based in reality in a lot of cases. And you know what? People are looking for that Hollywood type of romance, and it doesn't exist. Meaning, like, if the butterflies leave, you know, in the relationship, then you need to find someone else. Listen, the butterflies are going to leave. Okay, they're going to. Just accept that, realize that, and just move on with your life. That, you know what? You're not always going to have that butterfly feeling when your wife is chewing with her mouth open or chewing something really crunchy, okay? Okay. My wife doesn't chew with her mouth open, but she'll get, like, the crunchiest snack. Like, I think she does it on purpose. You know, like the freeze-dried bananas. Who eats that? Okay, especially on a road trip. Like, I can't move. You know, like, I'm right here. I'm like, the only thing I can do is drive into a ditch or something like that and try to, like, knock them out of her mouth or something. But So I'm halfway joking, but I'm not really joking about that one. That one's really like annoying. Like chewing loudly just bothers me. Anyway, all that to say is that, and you know what? There's no butterflies in my stomach when that's going on. Okay, be like, you know, just this feeling of euphoria between me and my wife, and like, no, you know. But that being said, is that that's marriage. You deal with that. And you know what? I'm going to stay married to her even if she likes eating those freeze-dried bananas all her life, okay? Or the almond mixture and, like, everything else that would drive me nuts, okay? And that being said is that, you know what? The expectations need to be biblical expectations, first of all. And they need to be expectations that are realistic. Okay, don't go into marriage with these unrealistic expectations. And you know what? This type of stuff, if you watch this type of stuff, your expectations are going to be so high and so ridiculous. You know, it's kind of like when you see these movies and everything else, do you realize that most of that stuff's fabricated? And like, even if it's based off a true story, like they don't look like that. They didn't do half that stuff, right? They bring it up a notch for entertainment value, and that's not real life, okay? Now, when it deals with families, okay, because, listen, we have young people here, and listen, young people, you need to listen up, okay? But we also have a lot of married people in this church, a lot of young married people in this church. And listen, pornography will ruin your marriage, okay? And I've heard of people, like, dealing with this, like, even that are, like, that I know that almost destroyed their marriage just from the wife finding out about it or, you know, whatever the case may be. But according to the National Coalition for the Protection of Children and Families, in 2010, 47% of families in the United States report that pornography is a problem in their home. That's nearly 50%, my friends. So you say, why are you preaching this? Almost 50% of all families. Now, I don't know where they get these statistics from, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know who's saying, yes, you know, this is a problem in our home. But so those numbers could be more. I mean, if you think about who's going to admit to it, who's actually going to say something about it and doesn't want to actually tell people that they deal with that, because a lot of people would be ashamed, rightfully so, to say that they even deal with it, okay? Now, this is a shocker, but pornography use increases the marital infidelity rate by more than 300%. Now, infidelity means unfaithfulness, okay? So like an infidel, you probably heard of an infidel, someone that's an unbeliever. But 300%, it increases 300% because of that, okay? And this just needs to be in your mind that, hey, if you're in it, you need to get out of that garbage. If you ever thought about that or you were tempted to do that, think about these statistics, think about what you're doing to your marriage. When it comes to like adultery, you know what? You need to think about, you know, what that would do to your spouse if you were to commit adultery, what that would do to your children if you were to commit adultery, how that would ruin your whole marriage. Yeah, that would ruin, you know, and even if your marriage stayed together, listen, that's a wound that will never go away. You think that'll go away? Give me a break. And so these things you got to be thinking about. Now, there's other statistics here about, like, people losing their jobs over this. There's actually statistics about people like watching this stuff at work, which is crazy to me. But I guess, you know, there's people that have like different types of jobs or something like that to where they, I don't know. I don't know how that even happens or anything like that. But here's the last statistics I'll show you. It says 68% of divorce cases involve one party meeting a new paramour over the internet, while 56% involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. So that being said is that, you know what, 68% of divorces, you know, you've probably heard that, seen that statistic. 68% of divorces a lot of times deals with because they found someone new, right? They found someone new and then they want a divorce, okay? That's usually what happens. But within that, a lot of that has to do with pornography. Now, let's get into some Bible verses here. So in Proverbs 24, go to Proverbs 24. Because you may ask yourself a question, you know, is watching this stuff sin? Okay? And here's a verse I have for you before we get into a lot of these verses. But this should be a no-brainer that this would be sin, that this would be something that you shouldn't be doing, that this would be against what God's laws, okay? But in Proverbs 24 and verse 9, it says, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. So, you know what? Thinking about whether that's sin or not is a sin, okay? Because that's foolishness to think that viewing something like that would be righteous, okay? Now, obviously, that is foolishness, in which what they're doing is foolishness. I mean, that's obviously, you know, thinking about that. But go to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Now, this sermon is kind of based off of that premise, you know, the sin of pornography. But here's the thing. What you got to think about here is what you're looking at. Okay, this can apply to a lot of different things. This could apply to covetousness in all different manners. And honestly, when it comes to pornography, a lot of that has to do with covetousness, lust, all those things. But those things could be in different categories than under the fornication realm. Okay, the reason I'm hitting on this is because, you know what? These people need to stop texting my church phone with this crap. Okay. But second of all, you know what? It is a problem in America and it needs to be addressed. And it's interesting because, you know, those repentance of sins preachers out there want to accuse us of being antinomial, which just means they're against the law. You know, it's interesting. I want to know what repentance of sins preachers are preaching against pornography today. Because you know what? You know what they do to make it look like they're going to make it to heaven is they try to basically belittle any sin underneath of like murder or like some kind of major sin up here. Okay. But how about adultery? Okay. Let's talk about that one in Matthew chapter 5. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Jesus is talking here. It says in verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, I want you to read that next verse because I want you to see like the severity of what looking at something can do, or basically the severity of that as far as the punishment that would be concerned. It says, in Matthew 5:29, it says, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is proper for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, what is this talking about? When Jesus is stating this is that if you're going to be justified by the law, you got to keep the whole law. Okay? Now, I preached on this when I was in Galatians. It says, if you be circumcised, you're a debtor to do the whole law, right? If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all, the Bible says. The idea here is that if you're going to try to keep the law to go to heaven and your eye is going to offend in some point, then you're better off to pluck it out. Okay? Meaning this is that, you know, you're better off to like pluck out an eye, cut off a hand, cut off a leg, than go to hell. Okay? Now, thank God salvation is by grace through faith. Thank God it's not by, you know, keeping the commandments, because none of us would make it. But Jesus is showing the severity here that if it was a matter of you keeping the whole law and you were going to offend by looking at a woman to lust after her, you should just pluck out your own eye. Okay? That's the severity of hell. That's the severity of, you know, what your eye can do. Okay? Just your eye. And the reason here is that what we're talking about is what you're thinking about. Okay? We're not talking about something that's done physically outwardly. We're talking about what you're thinking about. And it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, yeah, that's the act of committing adultery with someone else's spouse, right? But it says, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her already in his heart. Meaning this is that there's a sin that's committed in the heart before it comes out physically. Now, go to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, because everything starts with what you look at, okay? Think about, like, you know, we'll get into lust and, you know, like sin and transgression, but then you have the punishment that's after that, but where does it all start? What are you looking at? You know, what are you thinking about? But, you know, when it comes to what you're thinking about, it's usually what you see or what you hear, right? So what you're seeing and what you're hearing determines what you think about, okay? And notice what it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, what it's basically stating is that the light of the eye, meaning is like what you see, how you even see anything, is through the eye, right? And it's saying if it's single, and what I believe that means is that basically if you focus on what, you know, basically you're not turning to the left hand, to the right, you're just focusing on what you should be looking at, right? You know, godliness, righteousness, you know, what the Bible teaches, commandments, you know, what you should be doing, that's what you're looking at, okay? But if it's not single, if it goes off into various different directions, you know what? It's going to be full of darkness. And it even states here that if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Why? Because the Holy Ghost is living inside of you, and God is light. Okay, so if your flesh, you're looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at to the point where it's veiling the light that's in you, right? Because you're the light of the world. But if you put the light under a bushel, right? No one does. You're not supposed to do that. It's foolish to do that. But it's stating that, think about God is light and you're veiling God's light with your flesh. Okay, it's like, how great is that darkness to veil the light of God, right? The light that's in thee, right? And so, but notice that it's dealing with the eye. Okay, go to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51. Lamentations, so you're in Isaiah, Jeremiah, then Lamentations right before Ezekiel. So this applies to a lot of things. You're like, what you're watching and everything else. And I'm not saying like everything you watch has to be like a biblical documentary, okay? Okay, you could read books that are not like that are secular books. You could, you know, watch things that are not, you know, like a sermon, you know what I mean? But that's where you got to be careful, is what are you watching? What are you putting into your mind? What are you, you know, seeing? And in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51, notice what it says here. It says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Now, this whole Lamentations is talking about Jerusalem being destroyed, and obviously a lamentation means like mourning, right? So he sees what's going on there, and it's affecting his heart, right? He's weeping because of it. And why? Because of what he sees. So your eye will affect your heart, okay? If you're reading the Bible and you're just looking at the Word of God and you're reading it, listen, that'll affect your heart. And you know what? If you're viewing smut and viewing pornography, that'll affect your heart. Okay? Now, no one's going to lose their salvation over pornography, okay? But you can lose a lot because of it. You can lose your family. You can lose your testimony. You can lose respect. You can lose your job. You know what? There's a lot of stuff that you can lose in this life by looking at garbage, looking at, you know, smut and filth, okay? You say, you keep calling it, you know, all these words. Well, you know what? Just call it what it is, okay? In Job chapter 31 and verse 1, go to Job chapter 31 and verse 1, because you have to make a decision, okay? You shouldn't just, okay, when it comes to any type of temptation, you know, when it just deals with fornication, okay? You have to make a decision before you get to a point where you could commit fornication that you're not going to do it, okay? And when it comes to what you're looking at, notice what Job says in verse 1. Job 31, verse 1, it says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Notice that he's making a covenant with his eyes. What does he mean by that? What he's going to look at, okay? And listen, I know the day and age that we live in, this stuff is just thrown into your face. It's thrown into your face. There's certain places you don't want to drive at certain times of the day because you know what you're going to see, okay? And it's not inherently wrong to see this stuff because, I mean, it's just like, what are you going to do? Like, pluck out your own eyes, you know, and just go around the world blind because of that? You know, the sin is when you lust after it. But here's the thing. The more you look at it, the more temptation there is to lust after it, okay? So, and don't think that you're above that. You're like, well, I'm soul winning. I'm serving Christ. You know, I'm above, you know, looking at that type of stuff. I'm above lusting after that type of stuff. You know what? Like I said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Okay. You always need to think that you are able to do something like that. And the person that believes that they're able to do that will make a covenant with their eyes. You know what? Job wasn't above thinking that he was able to think upon a maid. Okay? That's why he made a covenant with his eyes. That's why Daniel determined in his heart that he would not eat the king's meat. I mean, he determined that before he went out, you know, before he got to that point. Now, go to James chapter 1, James chapter 1, because there is a progression when it comes to sin, okay? There is a progression, okay? Meaning this is that, you know, it starts with what you're looking at, what you're listening to. Okay, now this isn't a sermon about music, but it could be, you know, the same type of stuff, right? Because what you're listening to with music will also affect your heart, will also affect what you're thinking about, what you're lusting after, whatever the case may be. James 1 and verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So there's a progression here, meaning this is that, you know what? If you don't look at it, you're not going to lust after it. But here's the thing. If you look at it, you can end up lusting after it. If you lust after it, it's going to be sin. And if you sin, then you're going to end up having consequences. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." And you know what? There's consequences. And the thing is that what we're talking about is more so a mental type of consequence, you know, like you're affecting your heart. But listen, that stuff will outwardly manifest into things that are physical acts or different things like that, whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, whatever the case may be. You know what? That stuff, it starts with just looking at it. You know, the Bible says not to look on the wine when it is red, when it gets its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Meaning this is that wine obviously is just talking about like a drink that comes from the vine, okay? But in the case when it's fermented, okay, when it's red, right? You think of like grape juice is like purple, then be like red wine, white wine, you know, whatever the case may be. Moveth itself aright, it's talking about carbonation, dealing with the fermentation process. So it's saying don't look at it when it's fermented. Now, you can take it as far as that you don't even want to look at it. You don't want to go down the aisle. You don't want to be anywhere near it to where you see it. And I understand that logic, you know, because obviously you don't look at it, you're not going to be tempted to drink it, okay? But it goes into that line, right, okay, that if you look at it, you might be tempted to drink it. And if you drink it, then you're going to end up getting drunk. And then if you get drunk, then you can end up saying perverse things about women and beholding things you shouldn't be beholding. And then you can end up getting into a car, killing somebody. And it goes down the line. Okay? You're like, man, that escalated quickly. You know what? That's how that stuff works. That's how sin works. Yeah. Okay? And if you think that, you know what, it'll never happen to you, ask some alcoholic if he thought it was going to happen to him. Ask some drug addict if he thought it was going to happen to him. Ask the person that's divorced if he thought it was going to happen to him, because I guarantee you they didn't think they would be a part of that statistic. But you got to nip it in the bud. Okay? Now, go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, this is a story with David and Bathsheba. But I want you to see a couple things here dealing with this story. Because he commits adultery. But how does it start? In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." So how does this story start? David should have been in the battle. Okay, is it very clear? This is the time when kings go out to battle, you know, the narrator stating that he should have been out in the battle, but he stayed back in Jerusalem. Okay, so he's already not doing what he should be actually working, doing what he should be doing as a king, and he's not doing that. Notice in verse 2 here, it says, "And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed." Now, let me ask you a question. If it's nighttime and you're not sleeping, you're not working hard enough. Or let me state that, okay? Unless you have to be up, you're sick, or something's going on, like physically, to where like you're not being able to sleep, okay? Because I can't make it to my bed half the time. I have a problem, okay? Let me tell you about my problem. It's called a couch, okay? And anytime I lay on this couch, I'm done, OK? okay, I'm done, I'm out, and you don't want to get up at that point. It's like 2 a.m, you're like, I need to get to my bed, but I'm like, I can't make it. So, you know what, if you're working hard, okay, you're going to sleep well. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, the Bible says, okay? You know what this means is that David is being idle. Idle meaning he was getting up in the middle of the night and he's just like, I can't sleep, and he's just walking around on his roof, okay? So that's the first problem, okay? First problem, he's not doing the work that he should be doing. He's not busy doing the work that he should be doing. Then he's being idle to the point where he's like up at night, can't sleep, right? I don't think he was up thinking about a sermon he needs to write, or, you know, he's up like just burning the midnight oil on the Word of God, okay? That's not what it's stating here at all, okay? Now, notice what it says here. It says he arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So how did all this start? What he was looking at, okay? He saw a woman washing herself, and I'm just going to say this. I guarantee she probably wasn't fully clothed. If she's washing herself, if anything, she's probably naked, okay? Stark naked, just washing herself, okay? And he saw her. You know what's going on there? He's lusting after her. He's lusting after her in his heart. Now, David already has multiple wives. He has multiple wives, okay? You know what this tells me? Is the relationship between him and his wives is not good. Now, here's the thing. It's never been good. Anytime anybody in the Bible has had multiple wives, it's bad. Right. It never ends good. Because it says that he made a male and female, and they twain shall be one flesh, not 3, 4, 5, or whatever the case may be. So God's never been for polygamy, but here's the thing. He didn't have a good relationship with any of his wives, apparently, because he's up in the middle of the night, wandering around, lusting after another woman on the rooftop. Okay? Listen, if you have a good relationship with your wife, then you're not going to be dealing with that. Okay? And that's a point I'm going to be getting to. Is like, how do you curb this as married people, okay? Now, keep reading there. It says, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So he knows. It's not like he's ignorant that this is someone else's wife, right? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. So you know the story, right? He ends up having Uriah killed because he wants to conceal the fact that he committed this act. Okay? Then he marries her after that. And you know what? The child ends up dying. And there's other consequences that David has because of this. But where did it start? Okay? What's the root? Let's see the root of the matter, okay? What he's looking at. Now, another thing to think about is that what you look at has to do with what you're doing, too, okay? If you're busy at work, you know what you're going to be looking at? Your work. Right. If you're busy studying the Bible, you know what you're going to be looking at? You're going to be looking at the Bible. If you're busy spending time with your family, you're going to be looking at your family, okay? And so, you know what? The old term, the idle mind is the devil's workshop, is true as the day is long. And so don't be idle, okay? Get busy. Get busy doing something for the Lord, whether it's reading, whether it's, you know, helping people out, whatever the case may be. You need to be doing something to where you don't get idle to the point where you can get into wickedness. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, and people have told me this. I'm not trying to, like, say I'm, like, some great hard worker or anything like that. But a lot of people tell me I need to, like, cut back on things that I'm doing because it's too much or whatever. And my response is usually like, well, at least I'm not getting into trouble. You know, it keeps me out of trouble, because I've even talked to clients and I've told them, you know, like, we'll just talk about things, and I'll say, you know, yeah, you know, I'm you know, taking over this, I'm pastoring this church, I got 4 kids, you know, all these things that I'm trying to do right now. And they're just kind of looked at in bewilderment, like, how in the world are you trying to do all that? Now, I'm not here to say, like, I'm, you know, like, some great hard worker here. But what I'm saying is that, you know what I don't have a problem with? Pornography. Okay? You know what I don't have a problem with? Being idle. Right. I definitely don't have a problem sleeping. Okay. Meaning, and here's the thing, if people have sleeping problems, it's not always because of like their work ethic. Okay. So don't get me wrong here and be like, you know, people have like have to have sleep apnea machines and stuff like that. There's different issues. Okay. But what I'm saying here is that, you know, when I put my head down at night, I'm out. Okay. I'm out, maybe to a fault. Okay. Meaning that if an intruder comes in, hopefully they're loud, you know, but no, I'm just kidding. It's weird how that works though. You know, like you'll, the smallest things will wake you up if it's something out of the ordinary, but if it's something you recognize or you know should be going on, like you'll just sleep through it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11. But here's the thing though. I know a lot of people in this church are, I'm sure, that way too, where you're just working hard. You're working long hours. You're doing what you got to do. You know what? It's a blessing in a lot of cases because you don't get into this stuff, okay? And here's the thing. I'm not saying that I couldn't get into it. Okay, like I said, you know, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand and take heed lest he fall. I'm not saying I couldn't get into it, but here's what you do. You set up these roadblocks, okay? Set up, you know, make a covenant with your eyes and say, you know what? I'm not going to look upon that. I'm not going to, like, you know, get curious about that or anything like that. I'm not even going to get to that point. You know, put that roadblock. But put another roadblock. I don't have the time to do it. Okay? I don't have time to do this. Okay? And so, there's pros and cons to being busy. You know, obviously, there's a lot of things that people are doing that you're like, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go, like, on a hike for 2 days into the mountains and stuff like that. Or I wish I could go, you know, on this trip over here, do this or that. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with doing those things. Okay? And I'm not saying that's bad or wicked or anything like that. But we look at that as a con of being like, you know, like having like a lot of kids or doing these different things or whatever the case may be. But you know what the pro is to that? I don't have time where I can get into things or go places or whatever the case may be. The most I usually get out is I go to the gym at 6:30 in the morning or something like that. And just so you know, not a lot of people come at 6:30 in the morning. But even there, okay, the next point I'm going to get here, okay, there was some place I'm going with this, okay. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, it says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And when I think of like frontlets between your eyes, it's basically, you kind of think about your eye being single as the fact that you're like focusing in on that, right? Between your eyes, you're kind of focusing in, so you're not like going one way to the other. Another part of the Bible talks about the commandment that you go not to the left hand or to the right of it. You're basically just going straight down the line. And you know what? You go to the gym, you need blinders, okay? You know, God forbid you got to go up to where the cardio area is at. But here's the thing, like, the women today are just wearing stuff and they know what they're doing, okay? They're not ignorant on what they're doing, okay? And you know what? Even at 6:30 in the morning, every once in a while, there'll be this rogue person that will come in that's not usually there, and you're just like, what in the world? And, you know, I'm working out with a bunch of guys, you know, and we're doing whatever lifting program or whatever, but you just got to like put on blinders. You got to be like looking at the ground and like all this other stuff because you're like, oh, are you that scared that you're going to cheat on your wife? Listen, I made a covenant with mine eyes, you know, that I might not think upon a maid. Or why then should I think upon a maid? Here's the thing. I don't think that I'm above doing something like that or being tempted at that level. Okay. And you know what? Even when I go to the gym, I put on my wedding ring, even though I take it off the lift, okay, just because I don't want to rip my finger off, okay? But I'll wear it into the gym just so that if there's a lady at the front desk that they know, hey, I'm married, okay? And there's certain things that I do, like I'll ask for one of those like little towels or whatever, I'll grab it with my left hand. I'm right-handed, by the way, okay? But I'll grab it with my left hand. Why? So you can see that I'm married, okay? Now, you say, well, you know, no one's going to probably, you know, give you pickup lines or anything like that. Even so as that may, listen, my wife seemed to like me, okay? She wanted to marry me. There might be someone else out there that might think I'm attractive, okay? Okay, so the idea here is that you got to set up these boundaries. And you know what? In the world, you almost have to put on these blinders and just be like, I'm going where I'm going, I'm doing what I'm doing, and just not be looking to the right hand or to the left. It says in Psalm 119, at the very beginning of Psalm 119, verse 9 there. Like I said, this isn't a pleasant subject to hit on. But you know what? Sin isn't pleasant. And someone has to say it. Someone has to bring it up. Someone has to talk about it. And listen, if anybody gets involved in that in our church, listen, I don't want it to be said, hey, I never talked about it. I never brought it up. I never warned anybody about it. You know what? Even if you, in your mind, you're thinking, well, that should be common sense. Listen, there's a lot of things that I preach that are common sense, but it still needs to be preached. It still needs to be preached hard. Okay? And why? Because you need to be reminded about it. You need to think about it. You need to think about the fact of the ramifications of sin, whatever it may be. And notice what it says in Psalm 119 and verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You say, well, how would this apply? Well, think about this. If you're in circumstances, you got to think about Bible verses, okay? Think about the cause of, you know, like fornication. The Bible, how many times, you know, say flee fornication, okay? And the idea of how fornication defiles the temple of the Holy Ghost, okay? You don't lose your salvation, but listen, that's a sin against the body, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Listen, there's going to be ramifications for that. And when it comes to adultery, the Bible talks about you get a wound that's in the spirit, if you will. And there's certain things that are just scars based off that. What you see sometimes, you can't unsee. And there's sometimes people like send stuff. I'm just like, stop sending that stuff. You know, even if you're like, oh, they're on your side, right? It's kind of like when you're like preaching against the queers, for example, you know, you're preaching against homosexuality and they'll send you pictures of like different things. And you're just like, I don't want to see that. Stop sending me this, okay? I agree with you biblically, you know, that this is wicked, this is wrong. But at the same time, I don't want to see it, okay? I know it exists, but I don't need to see it, okay? And people a lot of times will use that to justify looking at smut, looking at things they shouldn't be looking at, to say, well, you know, look at this stuff over here. It's like, why are you looking at it? Why do you want me to look at it? We all know it exists, and you can condemn it without seeing it, okay? Now, go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and when it comes to this, what you're dealing with here is people committing fornication. Pornography is people committing fornication and people watching it or having pleasure in what other people are doing that's wicked, okay? Now, you know, one thing to think about here is that this is what reprobates do. Reprobates have pleasure in wickedness and other people committing wickedness. People that are rejected by God and that are haters of God are like this. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, notice what it says about false prophets. You know, this passage is dealing with false prophets, but it's dealing with people that are, you know, rejected by God, that they've denied the Lord that bought them, meaning that they could have got saved, but they rejected him, they're gone, right? But they're still alive, they're still walking on the earth. Verse 14, it says, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. So notice that, you know, Jesus kind of warned against the fact that, hey, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery already in your heart. You know, that's possible for all of us to do. These people, their eyes are full of it. Okay? They're full of adultery. Okay? It says, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Now, we know that these people are what the Bible calls children of the devil or children of Belial, right? They're past feeling, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But we don't want to be like them at all, do you? Do you want to be like these people that hate God? You know, now go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Now it goes through this whole list of all these different things and, you know, haters of God. So we're talking about people, we're not talking about the average unsaved person. We're talking about someone that God has given over to this reprobate mind. We're talking about like a Pharaoh, where he's hardened their heart to where they can't get saved, okay? And they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Therefore, their foolish heart was darkened. They're full of all unrighteousness. They're full of all fornication, okay? But notice what it says about them in verse 32. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, okay? So, you don't want to have pleasure in someone that commits sin, okay? And that's what pornography is, okay? And that's something that we should stay completely away from. Do you want to be? You don't want to have any fellowship with people that are full of that, okay? That now, reprobates have pleasure in murder. They have pleasure in that whole list. They have pleasure in people that hate God. They have pleasure in, you know, maliciousness and wickedness and all these different things, okay? They have pleasure in all that. But you know what? There's things in there like being disobedient to parents. There's things like fornication. And those things people can do, right? Any person can do that. Even Christians can do that still. But you don't have pleasure in that. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. So again, this is, if anything, a precautionary sermon. Again, it's not like I heard something or learned about something about anybody in the church. I'm like, all right, time to preach on that sin. Honestly, this was just because I've been annoyed about all these stupid spam text message things that I keep getting. And you know what? If I'm getting it on a church phone, people around the world have got to be getting this smut that's being sent to them. And you know what? I'm not an idiot. I didn't fall off the apple cart like a day ago. You know, like I know this stuff's out there. And I know that if it was bad in my day, it's even worse now. Especially if like 37 videos are being made every single day, okay? That this stuff is bad, it's out there, and it's worse than when I was an adolescent. It's worse than when I was in high school or in college. It's got to be, okay? Because the things are just waxing worse and worse as we see it. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, notice what it says. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So the point I'm trying to get here is that what he's going to state here is that don't walk similar to these people that are rejected by God. Okay, we're not just talking about a normal unsaved person. Now, I would say this, don't walk as a normal unsaved person either. Okay, but don't walk as, we're children of God, they're children of the devil. Okay, we don't want to walk like them. Okay, and you say, how do you know that's who he's talking about? Well, keep reading there. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened. Okay. Their foolish heart is darkened, the Bible says. You know, it says they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Okay, well, I'd say that marks them as they're alienated from that, so they can't get saved. They're alienated from eternal life because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Okay, that's where it says God gave them up unto their own vile affections. You know, to do that, which is not convenient, you know, and men with men, all that stuff. Notice in verse 20 here, but ye have not so learned Christ. Okay, so see the dichotomy? He's saying, you don't want to walk with these people that are past feeling, that are alienated from the life of God, you know, that are completely cut off from salvation or even the hope of salvation anymore. You don't want to walk like them at all, right? And he's saying, you're not like that. You're not past feeling. You're not like, you know, you've not so learned Christ, okay? It says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now it's stating, now we're talking about Christians here. It says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, this doctrine of the old man, new man, I think would clear up a lot of false doctrine. It clear up this whole idea of like, reformed lives, okay? Because when you get saved, your new man, your inner man, that the spirit and the soul is completely sinless. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. But guess what? Your flesh, your body, that's still here. And it still has sin. And it says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So, you see here where I'm standing, there's a perfect, sinless Jason Robinson inwardly. But there's also a sinful and in him dwelleth no good thing, Jason Robinson, flesh. Okay? So every single day you have to make a choice. Am I going to die daily or die and put on, you know, crucify the flesh, put off the flesh, put off the old man and put on the new man? Or am I just going to keep the old man on? Okay? Am I going to keep the old man on, and am I going to veil that light that's in me? Am I going to veil that child of God that's inside of me? Okay? Or am I going to make that child of God manifest to the world by walking in the new man, walking in the Spirit? Now, that's a whole nother sermon for itself, okay? But the idea here is that this is something you got to do daily. And this isn't going to be something where it's like, well, I cut off pornography today. I'm good for the rest of my life. No, listen, you know, if that is something you're into, you're probably going to have proclivities to that for the rest of your life, okay? Or at least for a long time, okay? Anybody that's probably dealt with alcohol, you know, like that, where they've been like an alcoholic, knows that they can't even like get near that like a normal person would, okay? Because they got a proclivity to that because of the use that they had in it, okay? So depending on how deep someone's into it or whatever, maybe the harder for them to stay out of it, and the harder they got to fight every single day. Now, if you've never done it, okay, or if it was something that, you know, it was very minute, listen, it's not going to be as hard for you to stay out of it. But you know what? That should give you incentive to say, I don't even want to get near it because I don't want to be like the person that's got to fight it every single day. Right. And just like fight that battle every single day. Okay. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, you're in Ephesians chapter 4, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Notice what it says here in verse 8. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Remember, now are we the sons of God. Okay. You know, now are ye light in the Lord. We're the children of God now. Now are ye sons, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4. So we're children of God now. It says, now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. So you're a child of light. You need to walk as one, right? You need to let that inward man walk throughout the world. And notice what it says here. It says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know what the Bible says here? To have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And it says that it's a shame to even speak of it. Listen, that word pornography is, it's I don't like saying it. Like, I'm saying it for the sake that you know what I'm talking about. And you know what? It should make you feel uncomfortable, okay? That word should make you feel uncomfortable. If it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, then you've been desensitized to it, okay? When I wrote this sermon, I'm like, I don't want to say that word, okay? There's certain words I just don't like using. And some words aren't even bad words, okay? Some of you know me well, and when it comes to, like, potty training, there's a word I don't use. And when other people say it, I'm just like, ah, I hate that word. It's not a bad word either. It's just I don't like the word. But you know what? It should be a shame. You know what? And I'm not speaking of like getting into graphic details or talking about it. You know, some children don't probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay? But you know what? They're going to know what I'm talking about eventually. Okay? And here's the thing. The Bible's not crude about this type of stuff. But you know what? We need to be warned about it. And you know what? I'm not going to speak about all the wicked debauchery that's done in the world. I'm just going to say that there's wicked stuff that's a shame to even speak about that we should not be looking at. Okay? Now, go to Hebrews chapter 13. And the last thing I want to state here before we close it up here is the fact that whether you're unmarried or married, you know what? We need to basically guard ourselves and keep ourselves from this type of stuff. Now, when you want to keep yourself from sin, you need to go on the offense. Okay? Meaning that if you get it all out, okay, it's kind of like music. If you take all music out of your, you know, like all the wicked music out of your life, well, you need to replace it with something, okay? So if you're listening to a bunch of garbage music, replace it with good music, okay? Now, when it comes to this idea of fornication or watching that type of stuff, listen, married people, notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled. Listen, that's where you need to focus on, husbands, wives, focus on that area. And listen, if that area is going well, then you know what? You shouldn't have a problem with that. Because you know what? Those needs obviously need to be met as a married couple. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is where it gets uncomfortable too, because no one wants to talk about this. But here's the thing. You know what? Divorces happen because that's not happening. Okay? And a lot of people say, well, it's finances. Sure, finances will make a marriage hard. Okay? You know, if you're down on the dollar, if you will, or I don't know if that's a term, but if you're dealing with like low income, yeah, sure, that'll stretch out the marriage here. But you know what? The Bible doesn't talk about that. Show me in the Bible where it talks about income when it comes to a family, and that's why marriages fail. I'll show you where it's talking about marriages failing or you know, married couples or single people, and it's talking about due benevolence. Okay? Now, notice it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." So basically stating here, that's not good for a man to touch a woman because it leads to fornication. And again, it's just like the sight leads to the heart, which leads to lust, which leads to sin, right? Well, same thing if you're, you know, touching and stuff like that, that's going to lead to other things. Like shaking a woman's hand is not sin, okay? Or I wouldn't shake any woman's hand in this church, okay? But what it's stating here is that, you know, it's not good to touch because if you don't touch, you're not going to go there, okay? You're not going to go to fornication if you're not, you know, even touching the person, okay? But notice what it says in verse 3, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except to be with consent for a time, as you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again." Notice this, "that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." And that's, if you don't mind underlining in your Bible, you should underline that right there. That if you're defrauding your partner, okay, and do benevolence. And obviously I'm, you know, being discreet in what I'm talking about here, but I'll give you a verse here, just so, Proverbs chapter 5. I don't have it in my notes, but Proverbs 5. In verse 18, it says, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace a bosom of a stranger?" You know why you embrace a stranger? Because you're not embracing your wife. Okay? And here's the thing. Wives, you need to heed this, that your husband needs this. And listen, wives, you need it too, okay? And the idea here is that this needs to be going on, and if marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, if that stuff's going on, then you know what? There's going to be less chance that you're going to get into that garbage, that you're going to be looking at other things, okay? You need this to be a priority in your marriage. And by the way, and my kids know this, it's God first, my wife, then my kids, okay? And I told them this, and they're like, and I explained it like this. They'll say, "So you love mommy more than us?" And I'm like, "Yes," but I said, "I still love you." Like it's not like diminishing the love as far as like, you know. I said, I'll ask Claire. I said, "Do you love God more than me?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, do you love me?" She said, "Yes." I'm like, "See, it's like that." Okay, meaning that obviously God, we should love God more than anybody, right? But that doesn't mean I love my wife, you know, like some subservient woman, you know, or like something that I shouldn't love her a lot. Listen, I'm going to love my wife more if I love God more. And I'm going to love my children more if I love my wife more. And here's the thing, if I love my wife to the point where due benevolence is going on a regular basis, to, you know what? My kids will have parents at home and they won't be split up. How about that? Okay. How about that will be a strong marriage to where, you know what? You're going to have a mother and father throughout your childhood and, you know, barring death or something like that. You know, obviously you would have things that could happen, but I'm just saying that, you know what, that's how you take care of this. Now, it goes on in chapter 7 about virgins and about the fact that if you're not married. Okay, and it actually even says that if you're unmarried, seek not a wife. If you're married, you know, seek not to be loosed. You know, it's basically saying, you know, wherever you're at, just, you know, be content where you're at, deal with what you're at. If you're a virgin, if you're unmarried, then, you know, or if you're divorced or whatever the case may be, you know what? Bible says just stay pure. Okay? And you know what? There's pros and cons to being married and being single. And that's what this chapter is all about. Okay? There's a lot of pros to being single and there's a lot of cons to being single. There's a lot of pros to being married and there's a lot of cons to being married. And you know what? But wherever you're at, you need to stay pure. Okay? And you know what? We have a lot of married people in here with a lot of children. You know what? We need to keep our marriages strong. And listen, pornography will destroy it. It will destroy a marriage. I don't know when. I don't know how many years down the line. But do you want to play that game? Do you want to play Russian roulette with your marriage? And over what? So, you know what? This is not an easy sermon to preach. Okay, it's Sunday morning, and I'm preaching on something really hard. Okay, but you know what? We need to hear some hard truths, and we need to hear what the Bible says about these type of things. And you know what? The world is pushing this out, and they're normalizing it. Nowadays, it's just normal for guys to say that they watch this stuff. Okay? And if you don't, you know, you're kind of strange if you don't watch that. Okay? I'm not really in that realm of, like, dealing with, like, college or high school or anything like that. But I almost guarantee that's the language that's being used. Okay, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of anybody that's in college or in high school or, you know, dealing around people that age. But listen, it's normalized. Everything is being normalized today and being desensitized to what is actually really wicked. And you know what? We need to guard ourselves. So let's end with a word of prayer. But before we do, just remember we got a baptism after the service. So we'll get everything together for that and excited about that. And then we'll just meet outside. So it's warm, so we'll be fine. But let's end with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. And Lord, definitely a hard thing to talk about, hard thing to preach about. But Lord, we just pray that you keep us guarded from this type of wickedness that to look at. And Lord, just pray that you to help all these things, these outside forces that try to push it into our lives to be stopped. And Lord, help us to stay away from any of that type of junk that would be put into our face. And Lord, just pray that you be with us as we go out soul winning. I pray that you be with those that aren't feeling well and that you would just heal all of us and keep us safe. And Lord, we love you. I pray also in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So do you have a song picked out?
Yeah.
So Brother Dave had to head out.
You want me to do it?
If you want to. Because I may not know how to lead it.
Yeah. All right, if you would turn in your songbooks to song number 159. Song number 159, if we would all stand, we'll sing Blessed Be the Name. Psalm 159. All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die, that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.